You are now on air.
Morning audio date is 04.09.2024. Current time is 5:57 a.m. Eastern Time here in upstate New York. That'd be the southern tier of upstate New York where I live and reside. And this is the Fireman Rich Audio Podcast Morning Coffee. Hello and good morning, folks. Hello and good morning, and we're up and about, actually on time compared to yesterday. Hello, folks. Rich Roberts, Fireman Rich, here on Spotify for podcasting, Podcasters app, as well as at Fireman Rich over there on X. And I'm also at Fireman Rich over there on Truth Social, Blue Skies, Instagram Threads, and on the public Facebook, it's The Real Fireman Rich. But for all intents and purposes, just go to X. I post a few extra things there, but I'm on those other platforms just because I know there's people on there, and I do repurpose and post the links to good stuff on those platforms. And one of those links to good stuff is this audio podcast that we're doing. And we're up and about getting our day started as we back out on the intro music there. And yesterday for the morning Twitch live stream broadcast, I was like over an hour late. As far as that goes, I slept in, so it's the Monday thing that I do, I guess. So here I'm pretty much on time. Usually the podcast I'll get started right at the top of the hour at around 6 a.m. on a Tuesday and Thursday. So we're doing a little bit better, I guess. Probably because we went to bed a little bit early last night. So, but we're getting our day started here in the southern tier of upstate New York, where currently the temperature is 36 degrees Fahrenheit, and we're going to have a really nice day today. They're saying temperature wise. I mean, we're going to be getting a little bit higher. Not a little, maybe higher than where we've been, but we're going to have partly cloudy today, continuing. We had cloudy skies yesterday during the solar eclipse, the total solar eclipse that I ended up watching for the three-hour event there on NASA, and also live-streamed it over there on Rumble. But we're going to continue with the partly cloudy, but we're going to have some sun popping through there. So, but we're going to have a high of 76 degrees Fahrenheit. Woohoo! Woohoo! But winds out of the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. That's good. And what did I say? The current temperature, 36 degrees Fahrenheit, 2 degrees Celsius. And sun will be rising this morning at 6:35, and that's right at the top of the hour at 6 a.m. So that's in about 35 minutes. Sun will be rising at 6:35 a.m. local here in the southern tier of upstate New York, and be setting later on at 7:40 p.m. later this evening. And I tell you that even though we weren't in the path, it was sort of dark early, like an early evening when the sun goes down. The street lights were on. The traffic that coming through the village here, they had their headlights on. It was different. It was really different. But I was outside during the height. Buffalo, New York had cloud cover. They didn't really see it, but I mean, if you watch it on TV, it was a spectacular event to see every location along its path when it hit the north America continent, starting in Mexico and going right up through the central plains there in the United States, up through Indianapolis, Indiana, and up through Buffalo, up through northern upper New York State there, and going over into Vermont, into Maine, and off over Canada, and away she went. It's a pretty exciting afternoon there yesterday. So, but we're here on this Tuesday, and I did post up our thought for the day. It comes from a gentleman we've had here many times before, and I'm almost thinking we had this this quote before as well. But it's a good quote, and our quote for our thought for the day comes from Albert Einstein, who was a German-born theoretical physicist who was widely held as one of the greatest and most influential scientists of all time. And he still is to this day, I think. His quote and our thought for the day goes as follows. Anyone who has never made a mistake has never tried anything new. Which is good. How can you make a mistake if you're doing something old? Well, if you do, it's an old mistake. But you have to try things new, and you got to accept the fact that you're going to make a mistake. Your first time out, it is never going to be picture perfect. So making mistakes is part of life. Just make sure you don't make the big mistake, like go rob a bank or something like that. Don't go on the bad side. Stay on the good side. Anyone who has never made a mistake has never tried anything new. Albert Einstein. Thank you, sir. God bless and Godspeed. And I was setting up today, this morning. I was looking at the national days. I actually did yesterday's national days, today's national days yesterday. And because as soon as I saw that unicorn, it's like, wait a minute, wasn't that yesterday? And I'm looking at the calendar. Oh, yesterday was the 8th, not the 9th, which makes me wonder, did we put the 9th on? No, we put the 8th on the title of the live stream broadcast yesterday. Sometimes I get the dates mixed up. But we'll go with the same one we did yesterday. We're going to just continue. We said yesterday was National Chinese Almond Cookie Day, and we're going to continue with that one where hashtag Chinese Almond Cookie Day is on the, and let's see. Yeah, it even says it in the thing. April 9th recognizes a tasty treat on National Chinese Almond Cookie Day. So I read that yesterday. It's like, wait a minute. Yesterday, they should have keyed me in. Like, yeah, today's the 8th. Yesterday, but the Adorn cookie with an almond has a delicious almond flavor along with that, and slightly crunchy texture are sure to make you smile. And I told the story there that my grandfather, he loved everything that was Chinese. He down there in New York City, used to go down there as a kid back in the day. Actually, it was back in the 60s to visit my grandparents. And my grandfather, he loved going to Chinese restaurants. And then my first time I ever went to a Chinese restaurant was with him. And this is the authentic Chinese restaurant. Now, you know, we sit down at the table. Well, I guess American Chinese are all authentic, I guess. But anyway, he loved it. He loved Chinatown down there in New York City. And it was in the evening when he read his newspaper or something like that. He would take out the little black Chinese hat and put it on his head, his thinking cap, he used to call it. So the Chinese almond cookie day, I know he loved this because it was like a little treat that you have your fortune cookie at the end of the meal, but there would always be a cookie and a little scoop of ice cream, vanilla ice cream, and not a whole lot, just a little scoop, probably like a half a scoop of what I would call a full scoop. But nonetheless, it was good memories, and National Chinese Almond Cookie Day for April 9th. That's what today is. We do have a good story, as you can see from the audio art. It's sort of a spigot. It's pouring water out into some clutched hands, and that is water. And what it is that there's a new solar power desalination desalinator, it keeps producing clean water without needing sunshine. So how can it be solar power if you don't need the sun? Oh, by the way, I'm just raising my coffee cup. I should have said this at the beginning. I do have the morning coffee. And it's tasting mighty fine. My first couple sips here. Always forgetting one thing. Can't forget the coffee, though, in the morning. That gets you going. And tasting mighty fine. So let's see what this story I'm about to present has to say. Let's see. Scientists have developed a new solar power system to convert salt water into fresh drinking water, which they say could help reduce dangers, the risk of waterborne disease like cholera. So this would be good for places like over in Africa, as far as that goes, close to the coast. You know, desalinization has taken the salt out of the water. So via test in rural communities, they show that the process is more than 20% cheaper than traditional methods and can be deployed in rural locations around the globe. Building on existing processes that convert salinated groundwater into fresh water, the researchers from King's College London, in collaboration with MIT and Helmholtz Institute of Renewable Energy Systems, created a new system that produces consistent levels of water using solar power. So the title says it without need of sunshine. Maybe it takes the available light that's there to convert it. So it uses consistent levels of water using solar power and report it in a paper published under Natural Water. Nature Water, I guess it's a publication. It works through a process called electrodialysis, which separates the salt using a set of specialized membranes that channel salt ions into a stream of brine, leaving the water fresh and drinkable. By adjusting the voltage and the rate at which salt water flows through the system, the researchers developed a system that adjusts to various sunshine while not compromising on the amount of fresh water being produced. Oh, okay. So it's that even on low-level light, sunlight, if it's a cloudy day. Okay, I understand now. Using data first gathered in the village of a village in India, and then recreating these conditions of a village in New Mexico, the team successfully converted up to 10 cubic meters or several bathtubs worth of fresh water, drinking water, that is. So it was able to be drinkable. This was enough for 3,000 people a day, with the process continuing to run regardless of the variable solar power caused by cloud coverage and rain. Okay, there it is. Okay, that's pretty interesting, because the sunlight over in India is going to be different than the sunlight in the state of New Mexico. So, I don't know, at various times. Let's see, Dr. Wee Hugh from the Department of Energy at Department of Engineering at King's College London believes the new technology could bring massive benefits to rural communities, not only increasing the supply of drinking water, but also bringing health benefits. Get all those nasty critters out of the water before drinking. By offering a cheap, eco-friendly alternative that can be operated off the grid, our technology enables communities to tap into alternative water sources such as deep aquiflows or saline water to address water scarcity and contamination in traditional water supplies. This technology can expand water sources available to communities beyond traditional ones and by providing water from uncontaminated saline sources may help combat water scarcity and unexpected emergencies when conventional water supplies are disrupted. For examples, like the recent cholera outbreak in Zambia, Africa. In the global rural population, 1.6 billion people face water scarcity. Okay. Many of whom are reliant on stressed reservoirs of groundwater lying beneath the Earth's surface. However, worldwide, 56% of groundwater is saline and unsuitable for consumption. This issue is particularly prevalent in India, where 60% of the land harbors undrinkable saline water. Consequently, there is a pressing need for effective desalination methods to create fresh drinking water cheap and at scale. Traditional desalination technologies has relied either on costly batteries in off-grid systems or a grid system to supply the energy necessary to remove the salt from the water. In developing countries, rural areas, however, grid infrastructure can be unreliable and is largely reliant on fossil fuels. And in those type of countries, I can relate to this. Not that it's, I don't want to really say it's a third world country, but the Philippines, when I lived there for a year, every day there was brownouts for the power. Creating a low cost battery-like desalination technology removes the reliance on battery technology for using intermediate solar energy in off-grid applications, enabling affordable rural communities in developing countries like India. By removing the need for a grid system entirely and cut reliance on battery tech by 92%, the system can provide reliable access to safe drinking water, entirely emission-free, onset and a discount of roughly 22% of the people who need it compared to traditional methods. The system also has the potential to be used outside of developing countries, developing areas, particularly in agriculture, where climate change is leading to unstable reserves of fresh water for irrigations. And I'm not buying the climate change for the water supply. That I think weather has nothing to do with that. I think that's the earth itself as far as that goes. So just my opinion thrown in there, folks. I know that the weather is changing and we do probably have some sort of climate changing and stuff, but I don't think all the, you know, just to say it's climate changing, where's the data? That's all I'm saying. Let's see. The team plans to scale up the availability of the technology across India through collaborations with local partners. Beyond this, a team from MIT also plans to create a startup to commercialize and fund the technology. Yeah, I think there's probably a market for that around the world. While the US and UK have more stable, diverse grid electrical systems in most countries, they still rely on fossil fuel. By removing fossil fuel from the equation for energy hungry sectors like agriculture, we can help accelerate the transition to net zero, which is another thing I'm not really seeing what the benefit is. The next step, that's for another story though. The next step for us is to apply the low-cost technology to other sectors, including water, wastewater treatment, and producing alkaline to make the ocean more alkaline to help it absorb more CO2. And that's what we need. We need more green-based plants like trees to suck in that CO2 and continue our reduction, okay? Maybe not to net zero. I think that's Maybe down the line, possibly. I don't know. We can always work towards it, I guess. I'll accept that. But there is data showing that our CO2 levels are coming down, and we just need to plant more trees. The math is out there. I've said that many times before. As far as to absorb the CO2 in the atmosphere. We cut way too many trees. Matter of fact, I think I saw in the queue a tree story about some gold miners down in Argentina replacing trees. I'll have to dig that one up. By taking this approach, not only can we decarbonize agriculture, but widen environmental and climate benefits as well, which, again, I'm on the fence there as far as saying, yeah, I could see something going on there, but is it all conclusive? Do we need less CO2 in the air? Yes, we do. We do. It's just for health reasons, and it's just the CO2 that we're calling the carbon in the air that used to be the pollution of years back, and we had a mess load of pollution back when I was growing up in the 60s. I can say that for a fact. That's the one part I hated, visiting my grandparents down in Brooklyn. The pollution in New York City was atrocious back in the day. It's gotten a little cleaner, but now you got the garbage all over the place from other factors that moved into the city down there. So with that, I guess we're at 21 minutes. Wow. Oh, you know what? We forgot to do the world times and temperatures. Let's go ahead and backtrack to that. Our world times and temperatures as I speak here on the audio podcast. Honolulu, Hawaii at 12:18. It's 72 degrees Fahrenheit, clear skies. Phoenix, Arizona, clear skies there at 3:18 a.m. this morning currently, 55 degrees Fahrenheit. In the windy city of Chicago, Illinois, at 5:18 a.m., clear skies with little cloudiness, 56 degrees Fahrenheit. Down in New York City, the jungle, as I call it, we have clear skies, 54 degrees Fahrenheit. I bet you it's going to be hot down there with always hotter down in the city with all that concrete. All cities have concrete. Going across the pond, the Atlantic Ocean, Cork, Ireland, at 11:18 a.m., we have cloudy skies, 46 degrees Fahrenheit. And in Milan, Italy, at 12:19 p.m., cloudy skies with some sun peeking out, 62 degrees Fahrenheit. In Kuala Lumpur, at 6:19 p.m., sunny and clear, 83 degrees Fahrenheit. And in Tokyo, Japan, in the early evening at 7:19 p.m., cloudy skies, 58 degrees Fahrenheit. And down in Australia, Melbourne, Australia, at 8:19 p.m. cloudy skies, 58 degrees there also. And over in Sydney, it's raining again today in Sydney. It's 8:19 in the evening there, 55 degrees Fahrenheit. And those are our world times and temperatures as we speak. So get that in just to backtrack. And let's see. So there's our good story. Desalinization for areas that really need it. Fresh water is very important to the existence of us humans. So the more we can get, the better. And this process will help because there's a lot of salt water out there that can be utilized from the oceans and also in the ground. Let's see, on our history for this day, let's see, what do we have? The first tax-supported public library opened up in the U.S. in Peterborough, New Hampshire in 1833. So the local taxpayer flipped the bill. Let's see, on this day in 1983, David Bowie, God bless him, a great musical artist, went to number one on the UK singles chart for the fourth time with his songs Let's Dance, the first time he reached the top of the charts on both sides of the Atlantic. And 159 years ago today, the American Civil War ended on this day when Robert E. Lee and his Army of the Northern Virginia surrendered to
General Ulysses S. Grant and the Union Army. The moment was the first time the two men had seen each other face to face in almost two decades. Suddenly overcoming with sadness, Grant found it hard to get to the point of the meeting. So it's like, the point is, let's sign the surrender here. The victorious general granted parole and freedom to 28,000 Confederate soldiers, allowing them to return home with their horses and officers with their swords and pistols, effectively ended the four-year war on this day. Back in, was it 1864? Let's see, 2024, and that was 100, we're doing math here, 159, so that was 1865, and that was shortly after that, was it later on here, I guess, this year, President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. So, let's see, on the AP side, we surrendered, we got that one. In 1413, the coronation of England's King Henry V took place at Westminster Abbey. And 1940, during World War II, Germany invaded Denmark and Norway on this day. And on this day in 1942, during World War II, some 75,000 Philippines and American defenders of Bataan surrendered to Japanese troops who forced the prisoners into what became known as the Bataan Death March. Let's see. In 1959, on this day, NASA presented the first seven astronauts, American astronauts, Scott Carpenter, Gordon Cooper, John Glenn, Gus Grissom, Wally Schirall, Alan Shepard, Don Slayton, architect Frank Lloyd Wright, 91. Oh, architect Frank Lloyd Wright at 91 died. But those astronauts, I've seen every one of them fly on the Mercury Gemini missions when I was a kid. I used to watch it on the black and white TV. Let's see. And that's about it as far as history. Last night in Major League Baseball, I did see this. Where is it? The Yankees beat the Marlins 7-0, and the Mets beat the Braves. Yes, they beat the Braves 8-7. So that means the Mets are moving up. Let's see. Yeah, the Mets, they moved up to third place in front of the Nationals and Marlins. So the Yankees helped. So the Yankees went from, Braves are still first, but the Yankees are 2.5 games out now. It's still early. The Yankees are still in first place in their division. A game and a half out, the Red Sox are behind the New York Yankees. Now, in NBA action, starting back on Sunday, I think I said this yesterday, the Celtics beat the Trailblazers 124-107, and the Knicks beat the Bucks. That's a big win, 122-107. Did the Nets play? The Nets lost to, they lost big, 107-77 to the Kings. So that was Sunday. Last night, there was no Monday night action, so tonight we have the Celtics and Bucks. That should be a good matchup right there. And let's see, the Knicks play the Bulls tonight at 8, and the Nets are not on schedule. The standings, just so you know, it's April 20th, the NBA playoffs begin, and the playoff outlook in the Eastern and Western Conference is getting really good. Some will say a chaotic mess. And the 20 teams, there'll be 10 in each conference ahead for the playoffs. So it's the top 10 teams. And the games are set by exception for a position here and there. Several seeds are contested. But anyway, they take the top 10 in each division. And in the Eastern divisions, that's going to be the Celtics, the Bucks, Magic, the New York Knicks are in there, the Cavaliers, they moved down a couple of spots. Pacers are number 6, the 76ers, number 7, the Miami Heat, number 8, the Chicago Bulls, number 9, and the Hawks, Atlanta Hawks, number 10. The Nets come in number 11, but they're like 5.5 games out from the Hawks, and I don't think they're going to make it. They're going to probably miss it. Over in the Western Conference, you got the Timberwolves, Nuggets, first and second, Thunder, third, Clippers, fourth, Mavericks are fifth. The Suns are sixth. That's the team I'm rooting for in the West. Then you got the Pelicans, Kings, Lakers come in number 9, and the Warriors, they sneak in there at number 10, and they're 5 games ahead of the Houston Rockets. So that's going to be the playoff teams here, I think. I don't think much is going to happen other than jockeying around in the first 10 there, as far as that goes. So the NBA playoffs start, yep, the 20th is next, not this Saturday, but a week from this Saturday, next Saturday. So that should be pretty interesting. All right, folks, we're at 31 minutes, and we'd like to try and keep the audio podcast here
at about
30 minutes to 45 minutes. And we got our benchmarks in, so that's good. So we're getting our day started. A hashtag positive start to the day, hashtag PSTTD. And we'll see what the day brings. And enjoy.
I know I'm going to enjoy the 70-degree plus weather. And also I've been noticing yesterday after our walk, we'll be doing a walk this morning, but noticing even more so, the lawns are going to probably be mowed the end of this week for the first time, as far as that goes. They're getting a tad long, and I like a well-groomed lawn. So we'll be doing that, tooling around in the riding lawnmower. All right, folks, you all have a great one wherever you may be on this big blue marble. You can follow me, Rich Roberts, Fireman Rich, at Fireman Rich over there on X. I'm at Fireman Rich also on Truth Social, Blue Skies, Instagram Threads, and then on the public Facebook, it's The Real Fireman Rich. You all have a great one wherever you may be. Live life, have fun. Ciao for now. As always, peace. Take care, folks.